This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So for us to say that, they must have really just done a great job. So we appreciate that. We have 1 hour to go. Jake Volnick coming up. He's going to take you all the way to the game. He'll have all pro or hell no because he gets the fun. But that's fine. That's fine. I'm not mad about that. No, I'm kidding. But JP's coming up. JP and I have got 1 hour to go. Jake's coming up at 7 there. But let's get to kickoff conditions. Driven by Classic Chevy of Menor. Game time right about 34, 35 degrees. It's going to be windy, about 10 to 15 mile per hour winds. Some significant chance of precipitation. That's rain and snow. And actually, we should just say, to anybody driving up to Cleveland, give yourself a little extra time today. The roads were pretty good when I got in here. I'm going to imagine I'm going to go a little slower on the way home. So just be careful. It's going to be cold enough outside. We don't need to add any sort of traffic fun to this.
Yeah, be safe. You know, one of the jobs I did have in college was I put together like traffic reports for all the news stations when I was in, you know, St. Louis and school and everything. Mm-hmm. And days like this, you just see so many accidents. Hey, people don't know how to drive when it rains or when it starts to snow for the first time. People just have no clue.
Yeah, and so
be safe out there.
Yeah, be safe out there. And again, kickoff conditions driven by Classic Chevy of Menor. And you and I were talking about this in the pre-show. I think Ken and Anthony got into this as well. I think people are expecting a Steelers takeover, a Yinzer takeover of Brown Stadium today.
Yeah.
I don't know that I expect that, but I will say I do not expect to hear the typical loud, roaring Browns crowds that we've come to know the last couple of years.
I mean, Daryl says he's got friends that are just handing out tickets like it's Halloween and it's candy. It's very confusing to me.
I've had two people reach out to me who I rarely ever talk to who said, hey, you want tickets? I'm probably 70th on their list. Like, this is stranger in a van just throwing candy at any kid who might say yes.
That is actually a way to build up some goodwill gesture, is that you reach out to the people you know are going to say no. So it's like, I offered you the tickets. They didn't take the tickets, but you get credit for giving people tickets even if they don't actually take them.
Now, do you do what I did, which is I was like, where are they at?
This goes back to our conversation earlier in the show.
If they were lower bowl, I'd have to really think about it.
We were Jerry World.
Yeah.
I'm not sitting in 500. I don't care if the tickets are $25 a piece. I'm not doing section 505 because my TV is better.
Okay, in that case, you have a chance to potentially win, the Cowboys do, over a bad Giants team. I think some people are selling a fight with this idea of the Browns.
The win is just as good from my couch.
It actually might be better from my couch because then you'd have to drive
home. The win is great from my couch. But the Muni lot was apparently pretty packed already this morning, though. Like, people are going to go to this game.
And by the way, because we know we're going to have a few people listening to this out at the Muni lot, just want to say, you guys are the real heroes. You're tailgating in this one, I just salute you. This is that. Like, so, that to me is like the amazing part of fandom. I will celebrate that.
I have a different theory on this, although obviously the Muni doesn't take anything when it comes to affordability, and you could do this every single week.
Yeah.
But in games like this, I feel like There's a certain clientele that goes to NFL games. It is not like when you and I were growing up and it was just basically a free-for-all and it was all economies that were there. The NFL's priced itself into a different class. It just has. These things are – they're crazy expensive to go to these games. But when you get games like this where it's basically $25 to get in, it becomes a free-for-all. And the people that could always afford it probably stay home. And the people that are like, oh, this is the first time in 2 years I can afford to go to a game, they come out. And it gets real rowdy.
I will tell you, yeah, that usually happens, and it's not good for Steelers fans. Be safe, Steelers fans. All right, so this I actually am going to turn this into a two-parter. One, do you think Browns fans will send a message to the Haslams tonight? And if so, do you think the Haslams will hear it?
I think – so what I love about this is that this is the spot. If you want the Haslams to hear it, it reminds me of James Franklin a couple weeks ago when he lost to Ohio State, and then that one Penn State fan was just yelling at him, and then James Franklin acted like he never heard anybody yell at him before. And he's like, well, what did you say?
What's your name?
Yeah. And then like the guy just ran up the things. But he got so in that moment because James Franklin puts himself in an echo chamber. Yeah. Jimmy Haslam, if he wants to, and I don't know if he does or doesn't, but if he wants to, can surround himself with yes men, can surround himself with people that only talk great about the team,
like Paul DePodesta. Like specifically like that name, he can surround himself with like people that
he
name.
Can listen to programming that is only sunshine and rain. Okay, like he can do that if he wants to and put himself in this his own little echo chamber of Browns are still awesome, but you can't hide from the fans on game day, and Haslam has a suite. And so if you want to get at Jimmy Haslam, this is how you do it. It's simple. Either let a bunch of Steelers fans take over or just simply don't show up and he'll notice.
So I take this for what it is, because this is not a report in any ways, but I have heard that more than once this year, Jimmy has left the suite in a huff, in disgust.
For sure.
And this,
you just can't hide from this.
If those things that I've heard through the winds are true, this would be like
Mary Kay said it this morning with Ken and Anthony about how she put it the right way. Why would he look happy?
Yeah.
But like, this is the one spot you can't hide, Nick.
Yeah, and so that brings to mind this idea that we've been talking about. I do think, like, I think most times, you know, fans boo, fans jeer, and I think owners slough it off. This is a really tough one to take if it happens. And again, this is all predicated on how does it look. But if you don't put your best foot forward tonight on national television with a rivalry game, with your fans there, and then the fans, like, this, it becomes a conversation tomorrow in a way that I think Jimmy and the ownership group will listen.
I think sometimes we forget just how much of a yes-man relationship these guys all have and how they surround themselves with people that only say nice things. Like Dave Tepper in Carolina comes to mind, right? That restaurant that said the mean words about the Panthers that got him such in a fit of rage, he pulled over and then went into the restaurant demanding that they change the sign.
Took the guy's hat off, which... like, usually get your ass beat.
Think about it. All anyone was doing was talking bad about the team, but he was so shook by one sign. Why? Because he surrounds himself with people that only tell him everything is awesome, everything is great, you're in the right spot, you're doing this the right way. I don't know that the Haslams have done that 100%. I have zero ideas, zero knowledge. What I do know, though, when these owners go to the game, this is where you can get at them. Dave Tepper also threw drinks out of the suite at one point. Like, this is when you can do it. It's way too late in the week to be calling anyone to like boycott the game or do anything like that, and that's insane. I would never tell you to do that. But if they look out and see a bunch more Steelers Steelers jerseys than they do see Browns jerseys, and then they a bunch of empty seats on top of it, they'll know the fan base is as mad as they've ever been.
216-474-0092. Do you guys, if you're going to the game, you actually have carte blanche to call in, 216-474-0092. Do you want to send a message to the Haslams with how you feel about tonight's game?
Am I off base here, Nick? Like, doesn't it seem like the one way you could actually get at him where he has to look at the public response of everything? Because you can turn off the radio. You can not look at Cleveland.com. Like, you can do all those things. You have to look at the field out in front of you.
I actually think... I don't think Jimmy actually ignores any of the struggles. I actually think Jimmy might be super realistic. I think you might have the opposite problem where you need to talk Jimmy off the ledge sometimes.
Okay.
And I don't mean that in a disrespectful way. We all run one way or another. Some are
Well, then he should expect tonight, then.
Well, yeah, I think he would. So I think it matters. I do think if that's how you're going to voice your frustration, if you've paid good money for your tickets to go through this whole thing, and you want to voice your frustration, I think this is an ownership group that will listen. Sometimes it's to their own detriment that they listen. I don't think this is the time that's to their own detriment. Like, I think this is, again, like, what vexes me a little bit is acting like this is just a 7-10 season. And I think, yeah, I've said it probably 100 times with you, to get to potentially 2-9. And if they get to 2-15, and that's an if, I know that, you don't understand how hard it is to go 2-15 in the NFL.
Yeah.
It's as hard as going 15-2 is, because you have to have everything go wrong. You have to have leadership issues. You have to have effort issues. You have to have focus issues. You have to have things. Like, it's not hard to go 5-12. It's not hard, certainly, to go 8-9 versus 10-7. Thin margin. But the margin from 7-10 to 2-15 might as well be the Grand freaking Canyon.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's really hard to get to a 2-win season. And we still got some games to go, but I just don't think either one of us think that they're all of a sudden going to win 5 games to close out the year here.
So this is why this game is important. And okay, it's important for a lot of reasons.
Yeah,
but
one of the reasons.
One thing to call back on. I've told everybody who said, we've hit rock bottom, there's no lower to go, and how many times have I come out and been like, bep, 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 bep. It's we got going to the Saints game. We got 8 games. You can get lower from here. And then you heard, certainly with the morning show on Monday, you heard the explosion like Krakatoa from Ken and Anthony,
yeah,
of that frustration dam giving way. This is kind of the inflection point. Like, this is where it can get real hairy real quick. You win, man, all those conversations about Kevin tampered down. You lose, and particularly losing bad, it gets really uncomfortable very, very quickly there. Let's see. Frank in Hunting Valley. Frank, are Browns fans going to send a message to the Haslams tonight, do you think?
No, they're not sending a message that he already hasn't seen before. I mean, there's been plenty of games that I've gone to over the past 4 or 5 years where there have been more Steelers fans than Browns fans. But at the end of the day, so I think Jonathan's point, the only way he'd really send a message would be if he didn't show up. But we know people are showing up, and if and when the Browns win, they'll be cheering.
Frank, we appreciate you, buddy. Thank you so much.
That is how it works.
One more go here.
Keith, we would cheer.
In Olmsted Township, do you think Browns fans will send a message to the Haslams tonight?
Well, I think that Mr. Haslam needs to reconnect with the fan base because he's losing them, okay? So he needs to get in a room with a 20-year-old, 30-year-old, 40-year-old, 50-year-old, 60-year-old, 70-year-old, even an 80-year-old fan and find out, because he's an outsider. He's not from here. He doesn't get what these fans have been going through for 50 years. I'm in my 60s, what they tell me. But he needs to connect with the fan base, and unless he does that, he's totally gonna lose this whole fan. And I don't know how to fix it. I think Barry, he didn't look for what was the converse of Mr. Watson working. So he didn't look at the downside of what's Watson. If he doesn't play good, well, now he put us in this predicament, and that's why he needs to go.
Keith, we got to run, buddy, but I appreciate you. And thanks so much for giving us a call there. Real quick, let's get to the Keys to the Game, brought to you by Mears Nissan. Keys to the Game, driven by Mears Nissan. Mears Nissan, minutes from anywhere. Keys to the Game, JP?
You got to find a way to run the ball.
Yeah. And do it well. And maybe let's limit those Jameis turnovers again.
Not going to turn the ball over if he doesn't throw the ball.
Keys to the Game, driven by Mears Nissan. Mears Nissan, minutes from anywhere. Will Browns fans send a message to the Haslams tonight? Lock of the week. I don't think JP is going to like mine. Next on 92.3 The Fan. Yeah, they said a lot of nice things to me, and that's what I really like.
Yeah, me too.
I really like when people say nice things to me. I've decided that here recently that that's better than,
oh, yeah?
than when people say mean things
there's
to you.
There's a recent development
yeah,
for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I used to be kind of 50-50 on the whole deal, but now as I get older, I get more vain and more needy, and it's like, bring it on.
I always used to think it was funny. Elise used to always, she'd ask me, because, you know, every now and then you'd go out and about and somebody would come up and be like, oh, I like listening to you or whatever it is. And then she'd be like, do you ever get to a spot where that's kind of like annoying? Like people just came up and they just, you know, they're interrupting the dinner or they're doing something like that. And I'm like, would you ever get tired of someone saying how awesome you are? Like, why is that a tiresome thing? That's never a tiresome thing. Now, you get tired of people coming up and being like, ah, yeah, I like you, but man, do I like that Nick Wilson a lot more. Now, that might get a little tiresome.
See, I never got tired of that.
Okay.
When people go up to you and say they like me more.
Yeah,
or like when they're, you know, when they like tweet at us and they're like, Ken and Anthony, you're doing a good job, but that Nick Wilson, that's actually my super
fuel. Or like when they rank out the host at the station and you're like third and they think that's like a nice compliment to you.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's, I mean, it's nice, but like, eh.
I mean, here's the thing, though. I've only been back for 2.5 years, so I'm third now. Just think of where I'll be in 5 years, potentially in the grave.
I was going to say fourth.
Yes. The longer I'm here, the farther I fall. Let's get to Log of the Week here by Polaris KTM Media, your complete source for Polaris ATV and KTM motorcycle off-road adventure. Visit their online showroom. I'm going to give you one that I don't know you're going to like. I think it's a lock that Nick Chubb gets a touchdown tonight.
Well, why wouldn't I like that?
Well, not like it, but you would. I like,
as established, you know that I enjoy Nick Chubb touchdowns, but it's the yards per attempt that bother the living daylights
out of
me.
Well, that's more that you've
it's the overall production.
You've talked about the production, but I just think, like, if you don't get Nick Chubb the rock and get him into the end zone today, it's a failure by Kevin Stefanski.
It's well established. You're the touchdowns guy. I'm the yards per guy.
You're the yard. No, I almost said something. The tiger must get out of the cage. I'm not doing it. Do you have a lock for the week? Lock of the week?
I think the lock of the week is going to be the idea that both Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston are not going to have massive games today.
All right. So would you say you would take the under in the passing yards on both
of
those? Because you are Mr. Passing Yards.
I love passing yards. Nothing gets me more excited than some passing yards, Nick. I would take the under in both passing yards. Although Vegas is adjusted. I do not know the live line on either one of their yards, but Vegas is adjusted accordingly. Like, they don't think this is going to be a high-scoring game at all. They think that this is going to be a low-scoring game. They think it's going to come down to the kicking game more than it does anything else. And, I mean, Mike, this is going to be the type of game, Nick, where a lot of fans, if you're not a fan of AFC North football, then first off, I don't know why you're listening to us right now, but if you're not a fan of AFC North football,
because we're awesome and we're the third and fourth best hosts in this station.
If you're not a fan of the Steelers or the Browns, you're in for a rude awakening of what this game is, because this game's going to be exactly to a T of what we think about smash mouth AFC North
is
football.
Is Papa Al going to be disgusted?
I think so.
Are we going to get the, you know, sometimes these games are so bad. I don't know why I'm making them Cosby. I'm sorry, Al. Sometimes these games are so bad they're good polish in, like, the first quarter. I think if we get one of those, we'll know that Papa Al just really wants to move on to the next game.
He's going to fall asleep in the fourth quarter, potentially. It's on the table that Al Michaels falls asleep in the fourth quarter of this game.
I'm sorry. That man's a legend. He can fall asleep whenever and where he wants. And Herbie better just carry the show. Bring on the pup.
Hey, did I see that right? Does Herb Street have a pup now?
Yeah, I think he has multiple dogs.
He's always had the pup, but now the pup makes the trips?
Yeah, I think think it kind of helps Kirk. I'm all for it.
A little too defensive of Kirk Herbstreet's dogs here. I know you're a dog guy.
Because I heard Lima.
I know you're a dog guy.
I heard Lima to make a lot of jokes about Ben Herbstreet, and I was not ready for those.
Oh, is Ben the dog's name, or is
Ben
someone
else?
Ben
was the one that passed away.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it's a little, we're in the bubble. You can't make fun of a guy whose dog's passed away. You just can't do it.
That's I'm not a fan of when you give dogs human names.
Okay, that I kind of understand. Like
Ben Herbstreet, I wondered for a second, was that like a cousin or something?
My dog's names have been Mongo and Artemis.
I love it.
So like,
Mongo's a great name for a dog because it would never be a human's name. It's the perfect name for a dog.
See, that's exactly why. Yeah, my uncle had a dog named Mike. When I was growing up.
And that's so confusing.
I just remember, it was a beagle, it was a great dog, but I just remember looking at him like,
you're like, Mike?
Your name is ridiculous.
Hey, what's up, Mike? Hey, Mike, get over here. Like, what's going on? Can you imagine how confused you'd be if you have one of those dogs that get beers out of the fridge, and your uncle was like, hey, Mike, grab me a Budweiser, and then he like went and just did it, and you're like, oh, gosh.
The Lock of the Week brought to you by Polaris KTM Media, your complete source for Polaris ATV and KTM motorcycle off-road adventures. Visit their online showroom today.
I feel like you're a ridiculous human sometimes, and the fact that I took that to such a ridiculous place that even you were like, okay, that's...
No, I'm proud of you.
Okay, is that what
I don't think
that
you
was?
Understand. Like, a lot of people would be disappointed or call you like you're stealing my essence. I'm like, you done good, JP. We are talking about sending a message to the Haslams today. And whether you feel the need to, whether you're going to the game, Chris is joining us now, Chris and Shaker. Chris, do you think Browns fans will send a message to the Haslams tonight at their displeasure for how the season has gone?
Well, definitely yes, but, you know, first of all, let's say Haslam is a billionaire. But the only thing he cares about is the money. He's getting this. He's getting paid for the Browns coming on Thursday Night Football, so forth and so on. The only message that you can send to Haslam is we need the media's help. Just like the media help getting Washington up out of here and everything else, we need the media to expose Haslam like he got exposed with that little when he went to court for that the gas station thing. He needs to be exposed. That's where he stands up. Now, let me ask you another question. Okay. A coach, this is the definition.
Didn't ask a first
a
question.
Person with who teaches football player the skills and the tactics needed to improve their performance on the field. That's a coach. Callahan was a coach.
What was the question?
Stefanski is not a coach. He's not.
Three.
You know, you got a guy on there last Sunday before the Sunday Night Football said Stefanski is brilliant. Where? Where is he brilliant?
That's a question.
Where is he brilliant? Come on. We need the media now to step up and tell it like it is. The Browns are garbage now. They're garbage.
We're going to tell the media, Chris. Chris, we appreciate you, buddy. Thank you very much.
Hashtag,
we're going to tell the media.
Hashtag let them know.
Whenever we find the media, we're going to sit the media down, and we're going to say, listen, the media, you better give it to these billionaires.
I agree. Go Cavs.
Yeah. Easy there, AC. Don't make me one up, Mr. Cavalier, you. I will curse on these airwaves. Ron, please feel free to ask us a question and say the media a bunch, but do you expect the Browns fans to send a message to the Haslams today?
Ron?
Ron? Maybe Ron's trembling in fear. All right, so...
Can we talk to a Dick?
Dick and Dayton, do you expect... Hi!
Hi! Hey,
I want to say something. Are you guys getting much snow?
We got a little snow today, Dick. We did.
Well, you heard me on Jeff and Andy today. It's about time, you know? I just have good feelings, you know, that they can pull something out like this, you know. I do.
Because of the snow?
Is it because of the snow, Dick?
No, it's not because of the snow. It's just, you know, they're bound to win. I take, you know, 2 weeks. They're going to beat Cincinnati. So that'll give them three. I'm saying four or five this year, you know. I'm saying four or five. And if they don't do that, I think after the last game of the season, Stefanski will be gone, guys.
Strong right. Stuff, Dick. We appreciate
Thank
you. Thank you so much.
Stefanski. His bit where he calls him Stefanski.
Kevin
always
Stefanski.
Make me laugh.
All right, so is it a bit, or does he really not know how to stay Stefanski?
He calls into every postgame show and hasn't gotten Tyvus's name once all year. I don't think it's a bit. I think he locks in on a name and just goes with it.
We should all be so lucky.
Could you imagine if we just went by the first name we heard or thought anyone's name should be, and that's the only thing we ever addressed them as?
Yeah, that'd be problematic for me.
Yeah.
Because I generally...
For everyone.
I generally have a name in mind that it's not always flattering for people. That first time you meet them.
Yeah.
Dump that.
Dump that.
Because I'm a condescending jerk.
Yeah.
And
you got a little comfortable there, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. It was all the Mr. and Dayton there.
Uh-huh.
Got us all excited there for this game. We got the walk-up video for David and Joku, and I think that's Myles Garrett. I don't know. It's good to see. Listen, the football not so good this year. The dressing up before the game still very strong for this Browns team.
Yeah, I mean, if they had a runway, they would be awesome at this. Between that and the, I'm happy to know that the defensive celebrations are still, they're still coming out with new ones every week. They're still dominating in that regard. They're dominating in a lot of places that just don't matter at this point, Nick.
Why? Because we don't have analytics for them yet. One more segment to go, guys. Nick Wilson, JP, we're going to be back here. And, of course, you guys, if you missed it, we're live from the Fairview Park Tavern on Lorraine Road. Still time to stop on and see us when we come back. One more segment. We'll get some predictions, best guesses, and the injury report on 92.3 The Fan.
Things. And then he goes, because you're on the air and you're talking, he whispers in my ear. He goes, come here. Whispers. Ross Tucker was wrong.
That's my guy right there.
I love that.
I got sandbagged by Ross. Nah, Ross just kicked my ass. I'll just be honest about it. But big thanks again to everybody at the Fairview Park Tavern. Want to say big thanks to Daryl Ryder. Big thanks to Pete Futek. Big thanks to Doran Dickerson of The Fan in Pittsburgh. Andrew Whitworth, a longtime NFL tackle, Super Bowl winner, Football on Prime. Andrew joined us at 5, Doran at 4:20. Pete at 4, Daryl at 3:40, if you guys want to listen back on the free Odyssey app. But we got one segment to go here, and, you know, as we kind of wait for some of the injury news to kind of pile in here, I will ask you whether you have any best guesses on just a few things on tonight's game, kind of what you're expecting to see.
Yeah, the expectation. I'm just not expecting any sort of big blowout or anything like that. It's going to be a tight game. I really do believe that. But I'm trying to put myself in the position of what, like, 3 hours from now, Nick, could I end up being like, geez, was that stupid? And that take, I think, might be at the top of it. Because the Browns have given us no reason to believe, and it's one of these games where we're sitting back and just the more and more people we discuss it with, I'm letting my friends in the desert get in my head. I can't figure out why this line is 3.5. It's bonkers to me that they would – it's like no one's watched this team play, Nick.
So it's funny you say that. I wonder – if we've talked ourselves into this game being more gettable.
I think so many people that we've talked to today, what's the vibe? Everyone thinks that we can win this game. Why do you have a 2-8 football team and there's so much belief around this team?
And so I like that's part of the whole thing, and it's why I do not make predictions anymore. One, because I've embarrassed myself enough. But two, because quite frankly, guys, I'm sick of getting disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's why I haven't wanted to like lean into it, but there are reasons to believe they can do it. I just don't want to be disappointed by this team again.
All right, let's break down those reasons. Like, what has to happen for the Browns to actually end up in the win column tonight? Because we've thought of so many doomsday-esque scenarios all day long. What is the way that this goes right? Is it Nick Chubb finding the fountain of youth and then just running the hell like crazy?
I mean, it feels like that's the thing, right?
It feels like that's the boomer bust scenario. Yeah. Like, Nick Chubb has to go back to being the old Nick Chubb.
Here's another thing. Dustin Hopkins has to make his kicks.
Well, that's the thing. All these people are just talking about the kicking differential and the idea that Bosworth has missed one kick the entire season. And it's like Boswell, excuse me. And it's just it's wild to me.
And let's go ahead and get to the injury report. Metro Health Rehabilitation Center. Injuries brought to you by the Rehabilitation Institute at Metro Health. We keep Cleveland moving. The inactives are out. Bailey Zappe, inactive. Deontay Foreman, inactive. Cornerback Chigozie Anuseum. Nailed it.
Way to go for it. Way to go for it.
Tackle Jed Wills, who even when he's active, he's inactive. And then tight end Jeff Swaim. And again, the injury report brought to you by the Rehabilitation Institute at Metro Health. We keep Cleveland moving. Jed's never playing again for the Cleveland Browns, right?
Yes. When you're starting Jermaine Ifedi, who will be the fourth left tackle now to start for the Browns this season, when you're giving Ifedi the call, that's what I always say. It's over for Jed Wills. That's the thing I say. When you go to Ifedi, it's over for Jed Wills.
And by the way, you said it before this season, too.
Yeah.
Well, you said it way back when Jermaine Ifedi was in Seattle.
For the preseason game?
Yeah, you were like, when you go to Ifedi, that's when Jed is done.
Oddly enough, we used Ifedi as the point of emphasis for why Stefanski wasn't going to ever play Deshaun Watson. It was like, when Jermaine Ifedi is out there, we can't take it seriously that he's ever going to play a starting quarterback. And now you fast forward and Jermaine Ifedi is the starting left tackle.
So is Jed Wills the new Jermaine Ifedi? If you see it out there, pray for the quarterback.
That's what happened in the preseason game. That's legitimately, that was the whole conversation.
I think Jed Wills is a great way to tell who's still drinking the Stefanski and Barry Kool-Aid and who is not. Because there's two camps of people. There is, he must have got hurt again, people. And then there's everyone else. Like, he's not hurt. They just are done with him.
You know what, though? Can I say this? I feel like good for the Browns for at least showing a backbone. You know?
Yeah. No, I think – well, yeah, but they're, listen, I understand, Kevin. Oh, I don't do that in broad daylight. I lie about everything, and I'm player-friendly. This was the one layup that if you really wanted to show Browns fans you were a leader, you would just come out and be like, hey, it wasn't about – actually, they can't do it for the reason I'm about to say. But, hey, we didn't like the comments. We're – Jed's not part of our future. We love him. We're not going to cut him, but he's just not going to play here anymore. Now, the problem why they won't do it is because I think they benched him because he dare say he wasn't 100%, and they wanted him to play. And I think that is the worst thing for an organization that is god-awful at handling injury news. I have no idea how you're bad at that. Just say the thing. There's nothing taboo about this.
Yeah.
But they've talked themselves into circles, and they have no idea how to communicate that information. Jed actually did a bigger cardinal sin than the business decision line. He said, yeah, I was 70%. I didn't feel like it could be that great, but they thought I was good enough to play. And that is the thing that they – because you don't want the NFL coming down and inspecting that.
Yeah, but we did wonder. We wondered if they, in turn, would just be like, we don't care. We're down to Jermaine Ifedi. We need to see you out there. And obviously, that's been proven that that's not the case.
Yeah. So,
good luck, Nick Chubb.
Send in at Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin on Twitter. We do want to hear from you guys. Given that Jed Wills is inactive for the second straight game, you think we'll actually see him out there at any point the rest of the season? It would be really wild if Jermaine Ifedi just got hurt and then all of a sudden they had their bluffs called on that one. I mean, last year they were under Jerron Christian, who I believe is back again this year.
Oh, yeah.
Just bringing back guys who – I mean, I actually thought Jerron was okay last year. He acquitted himself. But that was with Bill Callahan. Now, getting back to the game at hand.
Yeah.
All right, okay, so we've said Nick Chubb. Let's
I think that's the only scenario, right? Because Jameis isn't going to throw for 300 or 400 yards like he did last week. It's just not on the cards for tonight's game. It just isn't. Steelers have the second best defense in the NFL, and we've talked about the weather and everything attached to that. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. You know, sometimes Stefanski, when it seems very, very obvious to run the football, if he's hell-bent on his plan being throw the ball, he still throws the ball. I'm thinking about that Saints game a couple years ago, the one where Njoku was so cold and Njoku took his shirt off before the game, and people were like, he might get hypothermia, and we thought that it was going to be an obvious run the ball game, and then they came out and they threw the ball 40 times.
Yeah, it's
like,
funny.
Every now and then, Stefanski does do that.
I was thinking about the Cincinnati game to start last year, where it was like a pass-off between Zach Taylor and Kevin Stefanski, and Kevin Stefanski actually blinked first and started running the ball, and that's why they won. And Zach Taylor's like, no, you're not getting Joe Mixon. Joe Burrow's going to throw this thing in the worst weather possible.
That's when he threw for under 100 yards in the game.
Here's the thing. He's going against the coach, who will just decide to run no matter what the weather is.
Yeah.
So, like, you've already taken one of the more conservative coaches in the NFL, and now he's going to be like, yeah, no risky, no bisky, throw down the road, down the field.
Even when Joe Burrow's healthy, the move is still to run the ball with Zach Taylor in the first 2 weeks of the season more times than not.
Big news coming out of Brown Stadium, by the way. Scott Petrak of BrownZone.com sending out just now, no surprise, Browns tight end David Njoku warming up shirtless despite the temperature. There we go.
Hey.
Yeah, David Njoku's back. He's half naked on the football field.
How kismet is that? We were just talking about the Saints game with the shirt off, and then boom, he's back to having the shirt off.
Yep.
Somebody must be feeling himself.
You have to be a different level of vain to want to like risk frostbite on your man chest. And, like, the key spots that you don't want frostbite just because you look that good shirtless.
The Saints game was legitimately negative degrees. I'll never forget watching it with my my father-in-law, and he was like, he's going to get hypothermia out there. And I'm like, I don't know what to tell you, man.
Is it bad? Because, you know, I love David Njoku. You and I, this is a pro Njoku show.
Yeah,
right?
We love David Njoku.
I kind of can't wait to see if he gets fat when he gets older. Just as a heavy set guy, I'm so sick of seeing how well conditioned he is.
Yeah, you see how Mike Tyson looks so jacked?
Yeah.
Like, some guys just stay jacked their entire lives.
I kind of hope
they
we get like a.
Have the body shape of like a kangaroo.
Like an early 40s, maybe buys a Corvette, maybe starts grilling himself, and all of a sudden, or maybe gets into baking and he just gets, you know.
You see,
will look different than my fat is.
To answer that question, you have to find out, is he naturally built like that, or is he someone that worked his way into it? Like cyclists, all the cyclists. You ever meet a cyclist that once they get like 45, because all they did was cycle their whole entire life, then they get to 45 and they're still eating 7,000 calories? They all blow up.
I think we hang out in different circles, because I've never met a cyclist, let alone a fat retired cyclist.